This is the Schnauzer Logic Radio Company.
And this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 50th episode. It's being recorded on Wednesday. It's the 4th of April, 2007.
Groundbreaking, critically acclaimed, smash hits, HBO original series. And now, the HBO original series.
Schnauzer Logic.
A ventriloquist is on stage with his dummy telling numerous blonde jokes. A rather sophisticated-looking blonde in the audience interrupts the act and says, "Excuse me, sir, but I find it personally offensive that you continue to berate blonde women. I happen to be a college graduate and quite successful in my career. Do you think you could find another stereotype to poke fun at?" The ventriloquist replies, "I'm very sorry you take offense, miss. It's only an act and not really my personal opinion." The blonde replies, "I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that little feller on your lap."
Clinton, liberals, dittos.
I'm Dr. Mora, and I'm my poodle's mother.
Today on All Things Considered to Death, Moss.
Yeah, baby, show me your...
Son of Easter, my friends. Son of Easter, and welcome. You have managed to tune in, latch on, and otherwise download that stream of bits known around the world as Schnauzer Logic. Yes, this is Schnauzer Logic. It is our 50th anniversary episode, and it's being recorded on Wednesday. It is the 4th of April, 2007. My name is Robin Goldstein. I'm your host. I'm your buddy. I'm your pal. I'm also a straight white Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with a bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning, and I'm thrilled and delighted to be here. I'm thrilled and delighted that you're here. We've got a great show for you today. And let's see. First of all, we got Sean in the studio with us. We'll just throw him a very quick Son of Easter. Son of Easter.
Son of Easter. Son of Easter.
See, I always thought that it was Parvis's own style, but you're in Parvis's seat today.
That is correct.
So what you're telling me is that there is some kind of confluction of forces at that location in this room.
This precise longitude and latitude produces a double Son of Easter.
In the Phil Hartman style.
Absolutely.
I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such films as Gingivitis. Well, it really hurt.
And we're staring at two empty chairs, but we expect that before the show is over today, one or both of them will be filled by either two people or one huge fat guy. I don't think Dukovin's coming today, though.
Oh my gosh.
That was cold.
You get that kitty some milk.
Kitty wants to play. Where's that from?
I don't know. You sure it wasn't Phil Hartman?
It might have been. Very self-referential. Referential. We expect that Sherry Stevens will be joining us today.
Yes.
And we received a phone call right before the show that our good friend Steve Golson, who's been on the air with us a few times, is actually out here in the Silicon Valley. And we've invited him to come and sit in on the show today.
And that is going to be a treat. Because it's always nicer to have someone in person. I mean, we do the phone interviews a lot, and we're used to doing them. But when you can actually see the person, check the body language, it's a smoother thing.
It is.
Even for pros, it's smoother.
Frequently, people will say, if I can't see your eyes, I can't tell exactly how much poison to inject.
They only say that
at
camp X-ray.
Heard that many times.
Take off the blindfold. Okay.
So Steve Golson should be here. We're going to be talking, as we do every week, with Jason Nathanson. And we're going to be checking in shortly with Jan Karam, who is a personal friend of mine, a friend of the show. Jan has managed to score some big interviews with us, for us in the past. And I think she may have scored our biggest for
Indeed.
Next week. It could be a huge, huge deal. And it looks like this is actually going to happen. We'll kind of tell you about this later in the show. Plus, more stuff and nonsense. And so I should talk for another 30 seconds or so, but I've...
Is the wad shot?
I've run out of stuff. I said right before the show today, we never ran out of things to talk about.
No.
You don't want to tempt the gods. And also, I went to a Seder last night, and Sandy Bennett, who is a good friend and the host of the second night Seder that I've been going to for almost, I think, 10 years now, has become a fan of the show, listened to Schnauzer Logic, and mentioned to me that, you know, he enjoys the show. One of the things that he enjoys about it is clearly we don't do any preparation for the show. And that's so different from the rest of his life that there's like... And I tried to convince him that we actually do preparation, but the cover is blown, Sandy. I'm sorry. All right, well, let's get to the good stuff here. Let's say hello to Mr. Kip Adada. Let's say a very special holiday greeting. We got Easter coming up on Sunday, and of course, we're in the third night of Passover. So, shalom, Kip. Shalom, Michael Zwirling.
Stroke or unload.
Shalom, Dick Cheney. Avenu shalom, Dick Cheney. Avenu shalom, Dick Cheney. Avenu shalom, Dick Cheney. Avenu shalom, shalom. Shalom, Harry Whittington. That's the easiest. It's either Cheney or the Affleck duck. We got Whitney.
Kiss my ass!
We got the guy from Earthlink. What was his name again?
Home Networkity.
Samuel L. Jackson.
English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
Ali Waller, a Jew. Jerry Seinfeld, a Jew.
Stop laughing. It's not funny.
And, of course, our newest entry to the Hall of Fame.
I'm Brian Cox.
To the best of my knowledge, not a Jew.
Not a Jew.
So if you're playing Jew, not a Jew at home, that's the key. We gave you the key. You can amaze and startle your friends next week as they, unaware...
This is a big deal that there is this kind of juxtaposition of the Jewish holidays and the Christian holidays in the same time. I mean, this year, in particular, Easter sort of sandwiches... In a kind of matzo Hillel sandwich, if you will.
It's like a Reuben, but...
but tasteless. Yeah. does all of that bring... I mean, do you notice that in your life? I know that you're not particularly... You're spiritual, but not a particularly religious person. Does that... Do you find that this kind of trips you up in any way?
I come from an extremely religious family. I mean, priests and cops, Roman Catholic.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uncle's priest, uncle's a cop, and the other one's a civil engineer. I don't know what the hell happened to him, but clearly childhood abuse. But the deal is that my family is so Catholic, and of course, how Catholic are they?
How Catholic are they, Father?
Over the last couple of months, because people will talk about, are you coming up for Easter? Are you going out for Easter? What are you doing for Easter? What are your Easter plans? And I have asked a number of members of my family, well, when is Easter this year?
Wow.
You know, because Easter's date changes. It's not like Christmas. It moves around. And they all look at me.
Much like the body of Christ.
Moves around. That's just gases. That's actually,
James Cameron.
Yeah. They all look aghast at me, and they say, well, it's 6 weeks after the Feast of the Assumption. Oh, thank you. Thank you for not telling me the date of the important holiday. Thank you for helping me realize when that date is by referencing this obscure day in the Christian calendar, in the Catholic calendar.
In the Catholic calendar, and there are a lot of those.
Oh, my God. I was with my grandmother the other day, and she said, oh, it's so wonderful that you came up here on the feast day of St. Joseph's. You must have been thinking about me. And I thought, you don't know who I am, do you? You have no idea that I don't move through my calendar based on Catholic saint feast days. I don't know, but my family does. So I'm still not sure when Easter is.
Is it
next weekend?
It's Sunday. It's Sunday. Last Friday was Good Friday, and then you have Ash Wednesday, and then Maundy Thursday, and then Super Bowl Sunday. Easter Sunday. So this Sunday is Easter Sunday. I remember when I was a kid, in Boston, going out to the Charles River on Palm Sunday and watching the folks with the procession of palms.
Sure.
Something very nice about that.
I almost went on Ash Wednesday to just get that little smudge.
Really?
Yeah. They give, you know, the little smudge of ash.
Yeah.
But I've missed it. So.
I mean, this is, you were going to get...
I guess today is Ash Wednesday. So I've missed it.
No, it's actually the beginning. It's the start of
Is that start of Lent?
It's the start of Lent.
I thought Ash. Okay. Right. Well, there you go.
It's after Wacky Tuesday.
That's where you change genders.
That's Opie and Anthony. I'm sorry.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
Because yeah, I whip them out Wednesday. I always get those two confused.
It's not a holy day, is it?
Oh, yes, it is, my friend. There's none so holy as those who will whip it out.
It's strange. I grew up Roman Catholic. I went to Catholic school for much of my life, and what can I say? I guess I got a decent education.
Yeah.
But it was not...
It served you well?
Yeah. I'm not particularly resentful, and no one...
It gave you some spiritual underpinnings?
Yes.
From which you could build a whole philosophy.
And I get all the Bible stories now.
What's wrong with that?
Which are very referential to all kinds of things in our society. People use the terminology all the time. I have friends who were brought up in a completely secular environment.
Mm-hmm.
And no church, no Sunday school, no nothing. No Catholicism, no Protestantism, nothing. And it is amazing when you tell them, well, you know, that story really is a variation. The story in that film is clearly referencing this or that biblical tale. It's a retelling. Really?
Spider-Man 3?
Don't ruin it for me. Don't ruin it.
Well, it was funny at the Seder last night. Not that Seders are necessarily funny, but this is a very modern Seder, which is very nice. It feels like family, you know, and we go around and read sort of around the table, and there's lots of discussion in the Haggadah, the Seder book that we use is a kind of a very modern retelling of the story with lots of text from Frederick Douglass and Victor. I want to say Khayyam, but I know that that's not right.
Frederick Douglass, as in the slave?
Yes.
The former slave, Frederick Douglass?
Yes, not the forward for the Utah Jazz. Yes, Frederick Douglass, the slave, because obviously slavery is a theme in the story of the Exodus for the Jews, as it is in these times, as it is for blacks,
mm-hmm.
certainly in the United States and around the world. So there's lots of readings, and Viktor Frankl, not Victor Remington. And anyhow, it's all very interesting. But during the little intermission, the Jews wind up arguing with each other about whether things really happened in the meaning. And, you know, well, I understand that the Red Sea didn't part. It was a low tide. It was a drought
that year.
Low tide,
high wind. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And yeah. The moon was full, and the seventh house and Jupiter was aligned with Mars, and the fifth dimension were in town for a show.
You just needed waiters.
They were playing at the pyramids or the Colosseum or something. I don't know. Anyhow, it was a lot of fun.
I am really glad. The other day, and this is absolutely true, Michelle
as
found...
As opposed to everything else you've said?
Basically.
Okay, good.
I won't go over with the specifics, but you can disregard like 80%
like
at least of what I say.
One of those special Drew Carey episodes where you kind of pick out the goofs.
Yeah.
All goofs.
It's all goofs. There was a smear of blood on my front door, and I wondered...
No.
There was. It was a smear. I think that it was probably from Michelle doing something in with the rose plant, which is immediately next to the door.
Yeah.
And because it's around the knob.
Yeah.
But she said, how did this blood get on the door? I said, well, don't take it off. I'm firstborn.
You didn't call Horatio in?
I did not. No, there was no CSI. There was no... I didn't even bring in the...
CSI Palmero or...
Yeah, CSI Live Oak. They work out of the old Grange Hall. It's not nearly as exciting as... it's not as dynamic.
Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take our first break. Yes, we are. 50 shows, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. It is.
That's why I said it at the beginning.
It's 5, but I missed it. I wasn't paying any attention because that's my job here.
In that seat.
Yeah.
In that seat.
That's right.
Also, we need you to clear your throat copiously. Thank you. Because apparently there is also some confluence.
Robin.
That you got down. And I mentioned to you before the show today, I'm pissed that Parviz is not here. He sent me an email yesterday and said something had come up and he was not going to be able to make the show. And then this morning, the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, released the British prisoners. And
That's
we have not been able to get in contact with Parviz. Now, I'm not saying that there's a connection between those two events. I'm just saying...
It's interesting.
There may be a connection between those two events.
Put that in your back pocket.
We don't know. Do Iranians have back pockets? Is it a sign of disrespect to have a back pocket? These are the things I'm afraid to even ask him. He's such a volatile guy.
He is.
He's kind of like a hexane. He cracks very easily. That'll be very funny to the three petroleum engineers in the audience. Anyhow, we've got stuff for Parviz, even though Parviz isn't here. We've got stuff for Parviz. We've got stuff for Sean. We've got stuff for Sherry. We've got stuff for you. We have a great show today. The music today is from two bands that I've just discovered that are pretty cool. Scissor Sisters, who have been around for a while, and Mika, a couple of UK pop type bands. So we'll play some music from them, come back on the other side, and I think we'll be talking with our good friend Jan Karam. How's that sound?
That sounds wonderful.
Show and a half, my friend. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you guys are all here. This is Schnauzer Logic, Robin Goldstein, Sean Meehan, and inviting you all to please stick around.
I want to know why you like to dress up like a girl sometimes.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
This is the way you left me. I'm not pretending. No hope, no love, no glory, no happy ending. This is the way that we love. It's forever, then live the rest of our life, but not together.
Wake up in the morning, stumble on my life. Can't get no love without sacrifice. If anything should happen, I guess I wish you well. A little bit of heaven, but a little bit of hell.
This is the hardest story that I've ever told. No hope, love, or glory, happy endings gone forevermore. I feel as if I'm where you stand. And I'm where you stand every day.
This is the
on my mind. Can't get no rest, keep walking around. If I pretend that nothing ever went wrong, I can get to my sleep, I can think that we just carried on.
This is the hardest story that I've ever told. No hope, love, or glory, happy endings gone.
Yeah.
pretending. No hope, no love, no glory, no happy ending.
More fun than flushing the toilet while your spouse is in the shower.
Oh, sorry.
Schnauzer Logic.
Welcome back. We're about 22 minutes into this episode of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal. www.schnauzerlogic.com. Robin at schnauzerlogic.com. We're also over on myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. We got a phone number. It's area code 206-666-6540. You're going to want to write that number down, by the way, because next week we got a very, 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 very special guest. We thought we might have actually had him for today's 50th anniversary episode. From some scheduling issues we're going to have next week, which means that the listeners, because usually the show is not all that interactive, unless, of course, the listener actually shows up in the studio like he's done today. Son of Easter, Steve Golson. Not if I don't turn your mic on. Go ahead.
Well, it was like not being here at all, wasn't it?
It's still not interactive.
It's the only kind of interaction we have is when people actually show up.
I had to fly thousands of miles and rent a car and everything.
I was saying to somebody today, I said, we don't have a Parviz, but we have the winner of the spend 2 hours in Robin's second bedroom contest.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's great to have you here.
Likewise.
Sean mentioned that it's so much nicer when somebody's actually in the studio rather than doing it on the telephone, because you get to see each other. You can kind of, you know, gauge timing,
like,
and body
that's
language.
That's what they look like.
Body language and whatever it is. So, Steve Golson, you've been on the program with us a few times, I think.
Yes. A couple times,
talking about your wife Terry's book and the chickens.
Yes.
www.hencam.com.
Yes, they're getting snowed on at the moment.
Is it snowing back in the East Coast?
Really?
Yes. Really?
5 inches of snow tonight. My wife called me up and told me every time I leave town, there's a big snowstorm, and today is no exception.
Holy
she called
crap.
Up to say, check the hand cam. They're getting snowed on. So.
All right. Well, we can during the next break, we can check the hand cam. And so let me ask you, when your wife asks you to check the hand cam, what are you supposed to be doing 3,500 miles away? Do you have a little brush that you can brush the chickens off with? Or?
No.
Okay.
It's just for verification purposes only.
Exactly.
She's not sure that it's snowing?
I know the power is still on.
Oh, I see. And again, what if the power is off?
There's not much I can do from thousands of miles away.
I'm just trying to, because I thought maybe you had more power, more juice, more. I was trying.
Hardly. Strings could be pulled.
I'm trying to gauge how
compared
nice we
to
need
my
to
wife?
Be for you. Yeah, compared to your wife. She can't just clap her hands and make the snow go away?
I'm afraid not.
She tries, can make
though.
The garage door open and close.
Well, it's great to have you here. You're here for technical stuff?
Yes.
I mean, not in this apartment.
There's no. Clearly not.
I've come to replace the filter in the furnace.
No.
From Alliteration Plumbing.
Not even for legal stuff, so.
Is that right? You're here. You come out every year around this time.
Yes. There's a
much like the groundhog.
Exactly.
You see your shadow
exactly.
And then you go back
in,
to the
in
East
early
Coast.
April. And yeah. It's a company called Synopsys, which I use their software to do chip design. And they have a users conference every year around this time. And so this is my chance to come out to the Valley and see everybody that I don't see the rest of the year. So here I am.
And some years you presented papers.
Yes.
This year?
Not this year.
Oh,
no,
so this year
I took a year off.
You can drink every night.
Exactly. Oh, I excellent. Don't have to prepare. Work on my slides.
And are these, obviously these are technical papers. Are these papers about sort of the future of technology in a theoretical sense? Or are these sort of pragmatic and practical approaches of, here's what you want to do to get more crap on a piece of silicon?
Exactly. We don't use the
which
term
they sell,
crap,
by the way,
though.
Down at the, yeah.
That's not a term of art that we like to use.
Okay.
But exactly right. So it's, Synopsys is one of the top companies in what we call EDA, electronic design automation. So people who design chips, we use their software to do all sorts of things. And so this is a chance for the users to get together and say, hey, here's how I used software to do this aspect of chip design, and this worked and this didn't. And so it's a big love fest with all the users. There was about 1,700 people together. Yeah, it was a very, very big conference this year.
Wow.
Now, there's no possible convergence with the online porn industry. I take it. They don't use the software for...
You're thinking of CES.
Oh!
Where the adult entertainment industry is...
Yeah.
I've got CES stories too. So,
all right. Well, we will get to those stories and many, many other things today. But we have a special guest on the phone line, and I didn't want to leave her waiting there. So we will give her an appropriate fanfare, and we'll bring her on. Well, and this is the appropriate fanfare.
Ouch.
Fanfare for the silent audience. All right, that will definitely edit out, right, Kip?
Ah, oh, that's shit. Shit.
All right, here we go.
Much better.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know where you love her. Put your hands together for my good friend, Miss Jan Karam.
Yay. That was some strange hold music.
What were you listening to on hold? Were you on this show or different?
You guys.
Another station.
Talking.
Parviz's show.
The Parviz show.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Jan Karam, my Alaska partner. Hi, Alaska partner.
Hi, Jan.
Howdy, Alaska partner.
It's Steve Golson, who you've never met and probably never even heard before.
Say hi, Jan.
Hi, Steve, the very popular Steve.
And, of course, Sean Meehan.
Hi, Sean.
Hi, Jan. You know, I just want to tell Steve, because that Inuit accent was startling, she actually is not a Native American, to the best of my knowledge. You are not.
None of us
are. That was Peter Sellers in The Party when he goes, Bargainer.
There you
Howdy
go.
Howdy, Bargainer.
So,
yeah, it was that.
So, a hip 60s film, but not Inuit at all.
It's a classic.
Yes,
more
it
Minnesota,
is.
I think.
It is.
Yeah, for sure.
Exactly. So,
Wait, my neighbor's cat just came inside my apartment when I opened the door.
Okay, well, let us stop the podcast. We'll put the brakes on this thing. I mean, it's not like this is an Ice Tea movie or an Ice Cube movie or an Ice Coffee movie. Are you good to go?
Hey, I want to know, are you calling me on Verizon? Is this Verizon to Verizon? Otherwise, is this an in call?
No, actually, this is a regular call.
Oh, no, I'm using my minutes. Hurry.
Okay, be funny. Go.
My friends are only measured by whether or not they have Verizon.
Wow.
And so you have Verizon, so when we talk, you know, that's why we're best friends.
We've become much better friends now, yes. And the thing is, I don't even like you.
Do you love me now? Do you love me now? Do you love me now?
That's funny. I like that.
Write it down. You can have it.
I'm going to use it tonight in my show.
Because
Do you love me now? That's good. Do you have Verizon? We can be friends.
I was hoping that we could hurdle that seemingly insurmountable obstacle, Jan, and perhaps just at least be affectionate to one another, you know, in a loose kind of, you know, filial sense. But seriously, I saw some footage from your one-woman show.
Oh!
And Robin showed me a couple of clips. Outstanding! Uh-huh.
Thank you.
That was, are you going to continue, is that sort of an ongoing work in progress, something that kind of changes over time, but you stick with a sort of core notion? Are you going to perform that again, or
yes,
what's up with that?
All of the above.
Outstanding.
Yeah. So I'll be putting it up again, you know, funding provided, so I keep putting it up, and then
so you're performing tonight. So
filing for bankruptcy, then the starving artist. No, go ahead.
No,
kidding.
Over. No, you. But I mean, I didn't know that you were still. I know that you're writing these days. You're doing a lot of writing, right, as a matter of fact. But I didn't know that you were still. And I know that you were doing readings of some of your writings, which is a kind of performance. But I didn't know that you were still doing stand-up.
Is that the arithmetic?
Robin, it's not kind of a performance. It's a real performance. Reading is an art form, too, you know.
Okay. Sorry.
You got smacked down.
No. I know. I'm still trying to do the one-woman show, still trying to keep that going. So,
so all the writing is
part of that.
So where are you going tonight?
Tonight I'm going to a place in Burbank called, let me see, I have the flyer. The roasting bean or something. You know, it's one of those coffee house comedy turned. You know, they're going to be having comedy at Starbucks, so you just have to cross the street and you can do another set. Oh, it's called Romancing the Bean. Get it? I don't know.
Not really.
I know.
Not even a little bit.
Romancing the...
Mr. Bean?
The stone?
It was really
combined with Mr. Bean, so, I guess.
So
yeah, so Club 44. Four funny comedians for $4.
It's a bargain.
At twice the price.
It's a bargain. Do you know who the other losers are who would be performing with you?
Exactly.
Sorry.
No.
So it very well could be just one funny comedian for $4, yeah. Which is still a deal.
It is.
Let's be honest.
And three people standing on stage.
Yeah.
Which is how Parvise and I got our start.
Where?
Well, at the...
the Crow's Nest.
No, actually, we got our start up in San Francisco at the Mock Cafe.
Oh.
That's where we got our start.
Mock Cafe?
The Mock Cafe.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, that was...
Look where you guys were, it brought you.
To my second bedroom.
It's not so much withdrawal as a strategic retreat. It's
We're waiting for
Soon will come the surge.
Waiting for the surge.
Waiting for the bean.
But I wanted to talk. We haven't had a chance. This past Valentine's Day was the fifth anniversary of the trip that you and I took together to Fairbanks. Right.
Fairbanks, Alaska, partner. Well, that's why we said Alaska, partner.
I mean, for 5 years I've been calling her my Alaska partner. Jan, you were doing a lot more touring at that point. You were opening for Carrot Top, and you were doing a lot more traveling on the road at that point.
That was before the war.
I guess it was before the war. That's right.
Because remember the guy at that Eldford or whatever the base was? Eldon or I know I should know the name of the base. It's like Elliot. You know the name of that base.
Elliot. That
base. And the guy said, "We're going to war. We're going to Iraq. We're getting ready." And I said, "Please don't let it be true." And then he kissed me. No. I said, "Oh, Sergeant. War. Let me see your rifle." And then he got shipped off, and I haven't seen him since.
And scene.
That's why I stopped touring.
It's just too painful.
Yeah, it's painful.
Why don't I remember any of this?
Nah, well, you know, it was dark.
But that was...
in so many ways.
But that was all right, I got nothing to add here.
So
I mean,
anyway, yeah. So go ahead.
No. This is
next question.
Do you miss that? Yeah, we'll edit that out too.
No editing.
But I mean, that was a crazy time. That you did five shows in four nights. That was an insane period of time. It's hard to imagine that was 4 years ago. Remember we wandered around the pipeline.
The pipeline, exactly.
Which is completely unprotected. I mean, too wacky.
I know. I think it wasn't wearing a condom then.
Seriously.
So get the pipeline.
Wow.
Hey, you know, we're desperate. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
Desperate jokes.
I'm curious. Now, having toured, obviously, you know, Alaska is well known as a fairly conservative place.
Yeah.
And,
is this Steve talking?
No, this is Sean.
No, this is Steve
Sean.
Talking.
Oh, Sean.
Yeah.
Sean. What does Steve sound like? You guys sound alike.
We do.
Let me ask your listeners,
don't look alike.
Can they tell the difference? Okay, this good.
Could,
all
well,
right.
this could be a great ventriloquist act.
Yes.
Lips aren't moving.
Yeah, we'll play horseshoes for who gets to sit on whose lap. And
Robin, don't you think they sort of sound alike?
Not even a little bit.
Oh.
You should have used
Well,
Verizon.
You're looking at them, so maybe the sound changes because of your eyesight, your vision.
It's possible.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just curious.
Material
she will
not
too.
Be using tonight.
Right. How much do you have to change, blunt, modify, sharpen material when you change geographic areas? And do you already consider that going in, or is that a modification you make on the fly when you feel your audience after maybe some pre-scripted plays?
Right.
You know, do you...
No, I just have... I can barely make it through the act as it is. And the answer is get it or they don't. I'm not agile or skilled enough to be making last-minute changes.
So these are not smart jokes that can be redirected in flight.
We need to introduce her to Ken Duretsky, because these are the two happiest people on Earth.
And he is looking for hot babes, I believe.
Who is?
Ken Turetsky.
He sounds like us too.
Oh, does he?
I don't know.
But that's not true.
Maybe he sounded like this.
You do write topical material. I remember driving around with you in a
I didn't mean topical. I was just, yeah.
And you,
I, yeah.
You sense okay. the audience when you're up there. I watched you.
Yeah, I
watched
the coldness.
The distance.
Yeah,
when you stare into the abyss, sometimes the abyss applauds.
Yeah.
The coffee house thing in Germany was great in the 19th century. They also had Starbucks where comedians appeared.
I was in London, and I was in Berlin recently, and Amsterdam, and all those. They all had Starbucks, so I felt right at home.
That's right. You did. You took your first overseas travel.
I did.
What was that like? I mean,
I have to say that the people in London, the Brits, they get the jokes. Not just standing and talking to them. You don't have to say, "I was kidding." Like, you can insult them, and then you don't have to say, "I'm kidding." They get it.
Well, that's cool, because then I could actually insult them and
saying.
Potentially get away with it.
How did this come up when you were meeting people in a new country for the first time?
What? It's just banter.
Oh.
Just bantering. Cracking about the queen.
Anyway, the fine art of banter.
I was at Windsor Castle.
Did
and
you?
We were saying, is the furniture from IKEA? And then the security guy was like, "No, I think it's from the 99-cent store."
Wow, they the 99-cent store. That's too local. It should have been like the half-pound store or something.
What do they have over there? Piggly Wiggly. That's it.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think they have Piggly Wiggly.
That should be a British store, shouldn't it?
Don't they serve Piggly Wiggly? That's some part of their cuisine. You know, they Piggly Wiggly and boiled toast, I believe, is one of their
and tomatoes for breakfast.
I think that was the name that they had for Charles when he was growing up. I think they called the prince Piggly Wiggly
and boiled toast
and
tomatoes for breakfast. Well,
I'll be here all week.
Well, that's because you're an agoraphobic. That doesn't prove anything.
I'm in Agora Hills, California, which is where they test all the movies. Because it's the most Midwest neutral audience, they say.
That can't be true.
That's true. They say that it's the most like any town America.
I know, but isn't
Agora
there what's that you would know this? You're smart.
Agora,
you went to MIT.
Huh?
Yeah, yes. when
graduated and everything.
By paying attention, by observing something, you change the result.
Heisenberg.
The Heisenberg uncertain. Heisenberg.
If you observe something, you are affecting its position and momentum. If it's tiny enough,
that's
over my head.
The people in Agora Hills would qualify. So my point is that the fact that they know that that's where films are being screened means that they suddenly all become little Junior Ebert and Ropers.
Yeah,
and it changes
with attitude.
With attitude.
Little Ebert and Ropers. I like that. Like they may need changing.
Baby Ebert and Baby Roper.
Little angry, acerbic,
little
soiled Ebert and Ropers.
It's like the little Warner Animaniacs, you know, the little kid bunny and the those are creepy.
I like the pop culture references that you guys all kind of
Heisenberg?
Bring up. Yeah.
It's very big in the 20s.
Yeah. You guys are you're really good with that.
You're a big fan of the show, huh?
Anything that references the Copenhagen interpretation, we've got Steve here.
Exactly,
for.
Right. And I can tell you all about it.
We take care of the Looney Tunes stuff.
Exactly. Don't forget Occam's new electric razor.
Oh, my God.
So, well, I've been completely thrown off at this point. So why did you stop touring? I mean, when I first met you, you were opening
no,
for...
No, I didn't... Well, I didn't really stop voluntarily. It's just...
But you could
you
be
know,
back.
None of this is by choice, my friend.
Is that no? I don't believe that.
Out.
I don't believe you because you are a genuinely funny and talented performer.
Yeah.
Who got booked?
Well,
who got booked big time?
Going on the road is tough. It's tough. And then if you're not famous, then you just work for not very much money in the shitholes. Excuse me, club owners. I don't mean your club. And then, the other clubs.
So the
schlepping of it is.
Are you trying to cover up?
I wanted to do my one-woman show, and I wanted to write my book, which I wrote, and I'm looking for a publisher.
So is it actually finished at this point?
My memoirs.
Well,
yes,
they're not
memoirs. Well, an artist's work is never done. It's only abandoned. Actually, somebody said that, a poet. I don't know the name, but he said, an artist's work is never done. It's only abandoned.
Worship
it was Carrot Top. I think it was Carrot Top.
What'd you say? Carrot Top said that.
Yeah, it was Carrot Top. You didn't stop touring because of an ugly rift between you and Carrot Top. There's nothing that we could break here.
Well, no, because Carrot Top had his guy Charlie, and then Charlie Varicola, and then when Charlie couldn't do it, I did it. But mostly Charlie opens for him.
Did you ever watch him work out?
I think it got to the point where Carrot Top didn't use an opener.
He just rips it off with his hands.
He was tired of hearing the opener's name called out again and again during his show. It hurt his ego.
You're right.
What I love, though, is that we don't call him by his real name. We call him Carrot Top.
His name is Scott Top. His real name is Scott Top. His last name's Top.
But no, it's not. No.
Is Carrot an honorary? Is that
from Mills College? I think they granted him a doctor of root vegetables.
Yeah, that's right. A PhD in tubers.
Cabbage head.
It's not a.
Well, potato head was taken. So
it was an act. It was a comedy duo, and cabbage head got kicked to the curb. That's it was not a tuba.
Show business is ugly,
but delicious. If you're a vegetarian, but we're not talking enough about you.
No, I'm here to participate whenever I find an opening.
So you do have the One Woman Show, and I have the video sitting here on my computer.
Right, and we're going to put it on MySpace,
and
right?
We're going to put it on MySpace. We're going to put it on YouTube. We're going to put it everywhere that people
on
will be able to download it.
We're going
to
download and upload.
Do you? I mean, you're sort of a contemporary of
I'm
art.
I'm a visionary. Yes. What am I? Please tell me.
You're a very young contemporary of ours.
You're a young contemporary of ours, and so
any help will do.
Do you notice that there's clearly a difference between the folks who are starting out today, who are in their 20s, and they're all about the MySpace, and they're all about the YouTube, and for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who the fuck is Dimitri Martin? We wouldn't know Dimitri Martin if it wasn't for things like YouTube and MySpace.
Right.
And we wouldn't know Dane Cook if it wasn't for YouTube and MySpace.
Right.
Okay, so MySpace is evil. We've come to that conclusion.
And you wouldn't have known Roseanne Barr without The Tonight Show.
Different, right? I mean, The Tonight Show actually had a quality of being... I mean, you did The Tonight Show with Johnny.
Yeah, and you still don't know me, so you see my point is well made. Or well made.
he's trying to bring that all together.
Wait a second, how is this all working?
I think what you're saying is that you would have had a better career had you married Tom Arnold. I think that's
exactly.
I think that's what you're trying to tell us.
He would have had a worse career had he married me, you see? It's 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I'm just
that's what
concerned.
It all comes down to.
We're back to breakfast again.
What if people want to be your friend on YouTube and you still have this Verizon hurdle? I feel like there should be some disclaimer you put on your YouTube that you can't really be my friend until you switch.
Jan, I have two cans and a string.
Baby. But we can talk online, right? And it doesn't cost anything. It's the conversation. These kind that I have to be choosy about my friendship.
I guess that's true.
It doesn't have anything online to do with loyalty, personality, just your calling plan.
Nor should it. I have found that when I have invested in ideas like loyalty and personality when it comes to friendship, I've only been disappointed.
Right.
If I select friends on a strictly utilitarian basis...
A calling plan is forever.
Exactly.
You're saying America's choice is forever.
And you can switch, who wants the next tell and see who's over there. Someone you never maybe even imagined would be your friend.
So Jan was responsible for Taylor Negron being our very special guest was our 40th show, I think, right? A big show.
Let that be my legacy.
He was terrific, and I thank you.
He was great.
Yeah.
Does he talk about us?
He had a great time. He thanked me. He had a great time. Didn't I send you the email?
Yeah, I'm just making fun.
Oh,
I'm just making fun. Yeah, no, I mean, he was wonderful. We easily could have done hours and hours and hours with him.
Yeah.
Is he, but people like that, which is to say.
Again, we're not talking about me, but go ahead.
What do you think?
What do you think about Taylor Negron?
What do you think of Taylor Negron?
Okay, well, no, turn that around.
What do you think Taylor Negron thinks of you?
Yeah. What do you think Carrot Top thinks of you?
What does Carrot Top think of Taylor Negron?
And scene. What does Kevin Bacon think of Taylor Negron? I stumped her.
Okay, so go ahead. Go ahead.
So Jan has been in.
No, I love Taylor, and I just saw his one-man show. No, it wasn't a one-man show. There were other people there.
How many people are in it?
other cast members.
Jan, wait, I got
it. It was great.
Let me see if I can find this here. You guys talk to Jan for a second. I'll see if I can find this here.
Okay.
So
is this
now,
Parviz and Steve, or this?
No, this is Sean.
Where's Parviso?
Parviz is getting the prisoners released from Iran.
Right. Oh. Or perhaps he's in custody right now. We don't know. It's part of a reverse hostage exchange.
Oh, no, we're letting our own planning. Devices. No.
I think a plumber's work is never done. That's where Parviz is.
Parviz... Yeah. If Parviz were here, I would tell you what he would do. Jan.
Okay.
Now, I am curious, though.
Yeah.
A cat came in through your window. Does this...
No, through the back door.
Through the back door.
His name is Tommy. He's a stray.
Oh.
But everyone feeds him, so he's not really a stray.
So you have no cats or pets yourself?
I have cats.
Oh, do you?
I hate to say it.
How many?
Three.
And why do you hate to
I never liked cats, but I found this one, and then he was real nice, and then I had to keep it, and then I got two others for companion. They're kitty companions.
This is beautiful. This is how racism is eventually eroded and destroyed, through just these experiences. You find the one cat you like, and then you see the world differently. It's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
So, wasn't one of your cats... What are your cats' names, Jan?
Kitty, and Cowboy Kitty, and... Kitty Pot Pie. That's the girl.
So you worked overtime on me.
But she's also Powerpuff Girl, and because she's a strong, fearless leader, but very feminine.
And so are your cats an inspiration to your comedy?
Yeah.
Now she's crying. You made Jan cry.
They don't have good spatial awareness. You know, they can't see something and figure out, like, they go into a box, but they spin around and around, but they can't fit in it, but they don't get it. They keep trying to turn around, not knowing that their belly spilleth over.
Uh-huh.
They can't ever sit down because they're just spinning around. They can't look at their body and then look at the size of the shoebox and say, no, I can't fit in there.
Have you ever gone to Ross? I'm just saying that this sometimes this thing goes across species. That's all I'm trying to say, really.
What do you say? I've ever gone to Ross?
Ross Dress for Less.
Yeah.
I got it finally.
Hey, mark it down. That's funny.
You got two from me today.
Write it down.
Yes, I did.
And?
Hold on.
Oh, okay, he's going to play.
Comedian making her first appearance on The Tonight Show. Her name is Jan Karam.
Please welcome Jan Karam, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome, Jan Karam.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jan Karam. Would you welcome Jan Karam?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jan Karam.
Please welcome Jan Karam. Jan Karam.
Please welcome Jan Karam.
Our next guest is a talented comedian making her first appearance with us here tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Jan Karam. Jan.
So don't you say I don't know famous people.
Huh?
Your task is one of those was Rich Little. And you you have to determine which one.
Actually, one of those was Cleavon Little.
Jan, just remember, it's better to be a has-been than a never-was.
Exactly. Whoa. Who said I was a has-been? I'm still working. Really?
That was Steve, by the way, because I know you get a little confused.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Let's talk about what now, the now, the here and the now.
Exactly.
Do you want to know a couple of jokes I'm going to do try tonight?
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
Of course.
All right. Let's see. No, never mind. Was it okay? No, that won't be funny. Wait, what about? No, that's not quite worked out. Oh, well, what about? Oh, no, they won't get that reference. Oh, how about the newscast? No, they. Oh, no, everybody's for likes Bush. Oh, what about?
yeah, this is my, pretty good so far.
This is what my relationship with is that one of your jokes?
Oh, here's one, but it's not really a joke. people that go,
we won't really laugh.
All, I was DV camming my dad, you know, because I try to like get. He was talking about our old hometown and stuff, so then I turned on my little, you know, DV thing. I don't want to say video because that's too uncool for your crowd. So I was like, you know, had it on. I was videotaping him, and then he goes, "Turn that damn thing off! I told you I don't want my picture taken." And I go, "But it's not a picture;
it's just bits."
And then you know, people go, "Oh God!" And you show them the picture. They go, "God, I look terrible in that picture." And you want to go, "No, that's pretty much how you look." So I'll do that. Oh, there's the ambulance.
They're coming for the cat.
I think they're going for Jason's house.
I Oh, that may be too inside.
What?
They're just... We have another guest who seems to be plagued by outside noises, and that was one of them.
So who are we getting next week for our guest because of
Mort
Jan Kara? Mort Saul, everybody.
Yay.
Wow. Mort Saul.
Saul is going to be a guest on our 51st Schnauzer Lodge because of the love of my life, Jan Karam.
Yay, I'm doing good.
Well, you always do good, but this is so...
Yeah, well, no, but Mort's great. He's really excited to be on the show.
This is so above and beyond.
No, it's so cool. You know, does everybody know? Are you going to play some Mort stuff before the show or anything like
gotta
that?
Gotta find some Mort stuff. Mort is from the day of the 33 and a third RPM record.
Because I have a tape that, you know, Robert Whitey directed and produced and put together. It's a documentary of Mort.
Okay.
Let's see, where's it called?
And Robert's involved with Larry David's
Mort
show.
Mort Saul. It's called Mort Saul. Yeah, Robert Whitey's is doing a movie now in London.
In London, you said goodbye to him at a going away party.
Yeah.
What did you
and
bring him
call
for?
Me to thank me for the gift.
He didn't?
Yeah, and he says, "Oh, I told people not to bring gifts. You shouldn't have." And then
what'd you bring?
And everyone else listened to him. I was the only one that brought the gift.
You can never go wrong by bringing a gift. What'd you bring?
Okay, Mort Saul, the loyal opposition.
Yeah.
I have this video. It's on video.
Speaking truth to power.
So I can, you know, let me know. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
So are we out of time?
Well, I
would rather reject you. Here's one joke. I've been. I don't want to hear you say, "Well, we're out of time yet." Ah, I'll call my therapist again. It happened.
Do they have Verizon?
Well, here's this joke. I've been dating this guy for 10 years. We keep breaking up and then getting back together again for 10 years. Next time we get back together, we're going to get married so we can end the relationship once and for all.
There you
That's
go.
That's good. I like
there
that.
There you go.
That sounds like a joke. Da 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 da.
Okay.
But you don't do jokes.
But I'll say it like with more so it doesn't sound like a joke.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
So more context.
Okay.
So Mort.
You guys, I gotta go.
She's got real Verizon friends waiting.
I gotta go. I'm so busy.
Every minute
I'm
costs
soaking
money.
My laundry.
Well, get those clothes clean. God love you. Thanks.
God love you. I had a great time.
When are you coming up here and doing a whole show with us? And when
soon.
When am I going down there to see you again? I haven't seen you
anytime.
I've not seen you for is it a year? No, not quite.
I saw you sooner. Yeah, before that, like maybe you were here in the summer.
I judge when I see Jan by the surgeries that I've had.
Yeah, right. And before and after each surgery,
and the deaths in my family. That's how I kind of keep track of the passage of time with Jan.
And I want to see you too, so it's important you keep performing because I'll be down a number of times over the next few months.
Well, I'm doing a show tonight, and you guys can all come down to Burbank. You know, Robin surprised me one time in, was it in Valeria or whatever that city is, Venereal, up there by Magic Mountain.
Santa Clarita.
And you were there.
At Six Flags Over Pie. At the Marie Callender's when you were doing that show.
Yeah.
And I showed up at a table of Hyundai dealers. And you looked out into the audience. You're like, what are you doing here? I go, we're talking cars.
Go, I have a name tag. I'm signed up. I'm part of the team.
We're talking cars. Well, I mean,
that was good.
I mean, I think if you... I have yet to see a show where you didn't grab and keep the audience for the entire time that you were on stage. I mean that sincerely.
Oh, wow. Really? Thanks. Yeah, like today.
I know that doesn't necessarily translate into bucks. That's the difference. But yeah. I've never seen you perform where you didn't hold on to the audience.
Yeah, well, you know. That's nice. Thanks. I don't have anything funny to say.
That's all right. I'd love to talk more.
I got him by the cojones.
We got to go. So I'm sorry. Listen, I'd love to talk more, but we got to go.
Okay.
See?
Wait, what? I was being complimented.
It was a power move. It was a power move.
He's hanging
on.
He is
good.
You see what I did there? I kind of let you fall.
Listen, I'm putting on my red boots, and I have my jeans, and I have my dolls. It's called a t-shirt that says The Dolls, and it's like a punk sort of thermal long sleeve. It's very cute.
Excellent.
And I'm getting ready for my show.
Well, have a great show.
Thank you. Adorable.
As she always does.
Thank you.
Cutest thing on four legs? No, wait, that doesn't make
sense. Tell him to go to my website. It's very... very not up to date.
Very out of date.
It looks like I'm busy because I keep all the old engagements and people go, I'm going to see you in Vegas next week. You're going to be there, right? It's like, oh yeah, 5 years ago.
Only if you have a time machine. That's funny. You can use that too. Okay.
Okay, thank you guys. Nice talking to everybody.
It was wonderful talking to you. All right, take care.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great show.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
I don't think she always feels comfortable, but when she kind of, you know, because it feels like she's on the air kind of thing. But the moment she lets down her guard, she's funny. I mean, we have conversations that go on and we just generate, I mean, we're technically generating material. That's not what we're doing. We're just, and shit just flies and it's just funny.
It's a popcorn popper.
All right, we'll take another break. We'll play some more tunes. We'll come back on the other side. We'll do some more talking. All right, you're listening to Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, Steve Golson, our special guest, Sean Mee, and all in the studio. Sherry Stevens is not going to be joining us today. And Parviz, fuck him, he's not here. But we are. We're inviting you. Please stick around.
Viva, viva, viva la radio.
Stick around for more Schnauzer Logic.
Don't feel like dancing, dancing. Watch the freaking tear when I'm not in the mood. Don't feel like dancing, dancing. Rapping the high with the one. Empire State Building.
Actually, it's a second bedroom with some bath mats taped to the wall.
And broadcasting loud to all time zones around the world in stereo.
It's a medium bitrate podcast. Oh, and it's mono.
This is
Schnauzer Logic!
Welcome back. We're about 6 minutes into the second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, I'm your host, buddy and pal. Straightaway Buddhist vegetarian lesbian fraternity boy trapped in the body of a recovering transsexual woman patent attorney with the bizarre sense of humor and a master's degree in city planning. And we're here celebrating our 50th anniversary episode, number 50, with Sean Meehan, son of Vista, my friend.
Son of Vista.
And Steve Golson is in the studio, son of Vista.
Son of Vista, Robin.
So what's it like being in the studio instead of listening on the web or on a podcast?
It's a lot less comfortable.
Where do you normally listen to the show?
Both ears.
Okay.
That's, no, iPod. And most recently, I've been listening in the car.
Okay.
Because I've had some long trips to visit clients, and so I listen and laugh along the way.
Aww.
And prior to that, I would exercise while
I think a lot
I
of
got
people,
motivated while I would listen to the podcast.
I think a lot of people listen to the show. A good number of folks, percentage of the audience, listen to the show while they're working out. I don't completely understand that, because we all struggle with our weight, but I guess good things can come from that.
You wonder what the other people at the gym think when you're laughing away while you're working out, you know?
Well, you know, I have that problem. We talked about that before. I use a video iPod when I work out, and I always have comedy on there, and so most of the time people are really engaged in finding unique ways of squinching up the muscles of their face or blocking all feedback. So they cover the machines with towels, and then they put bricks on the towels, and then they wrap a towel. I mean, they just don't want to get any feedback at all, and I'm there. Everything is completely exposed, and I'm laughing out loud, and people they turn around and look at me. This is such an unusual, it's so bizarre to hear laughter in a gym that people will invariably turn around and look at me and go, I'm just watching comedies, you know. And
but like, everything is completely exposed, and that may be
that's when I realized
a real focus of interest for them.
What's going on? Exactly. Thank you very much.
I am in Parvisa's seat.
Whose seat am I in?
That's usually Sean's seat.
Oh.
And this,
I can tell.
And this will actually work out very well. So over the last few weeks, I have talked to Parviz, and I realized that I didn't think Parviz was actually getting enough time by himself on the air, and as a result, he was trying to wedge himself into every other minute of the program. Not that that's a bad thing, but all right,
it was uncomfortable for him.
I don't think it was, actually. And so I thought, how can we balkanize Parviz? How can we marginalize him any further? How can we create kind of the Fatali ghetto, if you will, of entertainment? And so it occurred to me that we should, you know, what we really could do is we could actually have a Parviz Fatali show in the middle of the show. We've tried it before, and it created some humor. I mean, he's been able to carry it. And so when he was here last week, I said, I've been thinking about what we would do for you, and I thought we'd use this as a theme song. Which is Yakety Sax.
Often associated with...
Benny Hill.
Correct.
And who did this? Do you remember?
No. No clue. Either.
But they kind of ruined the song. Benny Hill, yeah. Think of as Benny Hill and the bald guy with the girl's breast babbling on his head and whatever. So Parviz was not happy with that, and so he said, no, I want like an authentic Iranian song. Like, I want there to be a real Iranian-Persian feeling to the whole show. And so I actually went out and did some production and created an opening for a Parviz Fatali show, and he's not here. And I was furious because this is our 50th anniversary show, and I thought this is the time to introduce a brand new part of the show, which is a show within a show, a very common and famous and oft overused gimmick in entertainment. And so my first thought was we weren't going to do it, and then I thought, well, what happens when Johnny Carson isn't able to do the show?
Joey Bishop comes.
Exactly. And so...
And isn't it the height of cool to miss your first show?
I think it is. And so we are going to have our first Parviz Fatali show right now.
5, 4, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 2, 1. Boom.
It's the Parviz Fatali Show. Sitting in for Parviz is guest host Steve Golson.
Robin.
And now Parviz Fatali's guest host, Steve Golson.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for the chance to sit in for the amazing Parviz. Who's not here? Sitting in for Ed McMahon. Sean Meehan. Dead air. I'm not a professional.
It's a lot of pressure, I know.
Good thing I'm just the guest host.
Parviz never would have let this happen.
He'd be filling it right in, wouldn't he? He wouldn't let a moment go by. It would just be full of laughter and merriment.
So maybe this first episode, it was a wonderful salute to Parviz. And don't we have things on the program, don't we?
We
have things scheduled for the Parviz Fatali show today.
We do. On today's Parviz Fatali show, we have a question for Parviz from Angela.
So Angela? Wonderful. Let's hear from Angela, shall we?
Okay, we'll hear the question now from Angela. This is the part of the show where we play the question from Angela.
Hey, Sonavista folks. It's Nerdy Logic. This is Angela calling from Colorado. And I have a question for Ask Parviz. Parviz, please help me. My girlfriend Sandra and I are thinking about taking a trip in September, going from Chaco Canyon National Park in New Mexico up to Glacier National Park in Montana. And I'm wondering if you can suggest the best possible route from Chaco Canyon to Glacier National Park, and if you have any suggestions for sites we ought to see along the way. Parviz, I know you're such a geographical wizard that your middle name ought to be Rand McNally, so I know you can help me. Anyway, I hope to hear this on the show, and thanks so much for a wonderful program. Bye-bye.
Angela. Wow, that's an amazing question. Rand McNally, that's not the map I would have chosen. So So you want to go from this is not Parviz. This is just an amazing simulation, but I'll sit in for him now. So you want to go from Chaco National Historic Park in New Mexico, one of my favorite states, to Glacier National Park. Are you going to slip across the border to Canada while you're there? I hope so. So I'm in my hands here. What did he used to say? It was Johnny used to say about the, it was on a jar on Funkin' Wagnall's porch or something. Anyway.
Yeah, hermetically sealed.
Hermetically sealed. Yes. Yeah. So I have the Google directions here. But I really don't like them because Google says it's going to take 19 hours and 53 minutes and it'll be 1,208 miles and you go north through Farmington and then through Utah and Salt Lake City and then through Idaho Falls and Idaho and Butte and all the way up to Glacier National Park. I don't like those directions. Here's what I would do. I would tell you, you want to go south. You want to go south and then get on Interstate 40. Because it used to be Route 66, and so you're going to get a little bit of Route 66, and you're going to go east to Albuquerque. And while you're there, you need to stay there for a little bit until you learn how to spell Albuquerque. 3 U's, 2 Q's, and 2 E's. Don't forget. Then north to Santa Fe, which I think is the only state capital without an airport. Then east to Las Vegas, not Las Vegas, Nevada, but Las Vegas, New Mexico, which is a wonderful place. And then you head north. And while you're headed north, there's Raton, New Mexico, which is beautiful. And there's the Capulin National Monument, which is the most perfect cinder cone volcano in the world. And you can drive up that and see 7 states from the top. So from there, heading north through Colorado, which I guess you're from, so you should know Colorado, but you're going to drive through Pueblo. And while you're in Pueblo, you're going to stop and you're going to look at the giant government warehouse that has all the little booklets that they'll mail to you when you write to the government. Then to Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs, known for Cheyenne Mountain, which is hollowed out and filled with lots of military people with their fingers poised over the button, ready to go. Then further north to Denver, which has horrible pollution, and then Boulder, Colorado, Fort Collins, say hello to the nice folks up there at the university, and then Cheyenne, Wyoming, home of Dick Cheney. Robin, hit it. Robin. Dick Cheney.
Sorry.
Robin.
Sorry, hold on, please. This part we will edit into the show without question. Hold on. Okay, and then read the line.
And
again.
Then, and then you're headed to Wyoming, home of Dick Cheney.
Stroke or unload.
See from Wyoming too. Headed north. They're all from Wyoming. Oh my god!
English motherfucker, do you speak it?
He is from Montana, I can tell you. So further north into Wyoming, through Casper. Say hello to Casper, the friendly ghost, while you're there. Further north to Buffalo, and on to Billings, Montana. Montana, the big sky state, a bit west to Bozeman, and then you're headed north through Helena, past Great Falls, all the way to Glacier National Park. Say hello to them before they all melt.
Home networkity.
Zip across the border to Waterton Peace Park, which is the on the Canadian side there. There's a nice lake. You can take the little boat and go across. Bring your passport. Have a great trip, Angela.
I'm Brian Cox.
Just like Parviz would do it.
That is quite an itinerary you provided for Angela.
Don't you think? I think it'd take a couple days at least.
The perfect cinder cone.
Take your time. Wear your diapers. Oh, no. You can stop along the way. Not to worry.
Wow. I thought you were
going to... Don't you want to go?
I thought you were going to take her through the Panama Canal. I had no idea which way you were going.
No, that'd be silly. What kind of fool would do that?
How much of this have you done?
What? The driving part? Well, I was a passenger, but yeah, I did a lot of it.
Really?
Been to Colorado, yeah. Wyoming. I can tell you bear stories.
And I bet you
Montana,
can.
Montana, yeah.
No, you can. You
Glacier
can't tell a bear story?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, tell us a bear story.
Okay. So, in... let's see, Green River Falls, Green River State Park in Wyoming. My family and I were there and tent camping, and black bear came and ripped the side of the tent. And
while you guys were in it?
Yeah, and then I slept through it all, but it woke up the rest of my family, and then they looked out and they saw this bear picking up our ice chest over its head and smashing it down and getting at the bacon inside. And
hey, boo-boo.
Yeah. And the next day, it chased a bunch of Boy Scouts, so...
Well, that's nice. So you don't have to feed the bears; they feed themselves.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Exactly
you didn't break any laws.
No.
But you know, are you even slightly concerned that you basically slept through a bear attack? I mean,
I was 8 years
old. Isn't that kind of maladaptive?
You know that? You would think so. Well, that's I had my parents to take care of me. You see?
Did you have kids? Have you had
so
kids?
So far? Yes.
See,
but
that's not good because nature should have selected against you right there.
He doesn't let them go to sleep. When they go on a camping trip, no dose. Every 2 hours, just pumps them full of caffeine.
Well, I did better than the Boy Scouts. You see, the day before the bear got into our tent, there was a bear up the mountain, and this group of Boy Scouts who was camping there chased the bear. And so we watched the bear go up the mountain, and we watched the Boy Scouts go up the mountain, and the next thing we know, the Boy Scouts are running down the mountain with the bear behind them, and they ran into the women's bathroom, which was the closest one, to get away from the bear.
Didn't anybody pay any attention to the Timothy Treadwell story?
I want to understand why we think that bears will accommodate the whole male-female dichotomy.
Yeah, that is
in the
ladies'
room.
Whoa!
I won't go in.
He just waited patiently outside for a stall on the...
Can you check inside for me, please, see if they're still
that's
in there?
Right.
Were you scared? Well, you slept through the whole
thing. I slept through that part. Yeah, but then there was another. You want the second bear story?
Does a bear poke?
Is this
in
what
the woods?
Parviz would say? Is this still the Parviz show?
Of course.
Okay, well then he wouldn't care what you would think. He would just be talking right away. So here,
you
let me tell. Let me tell Robin. Let me tell you about the bear. Robin, so we're up in Glacier National Park. My family. Robin. Listen, pay attention.
I'm with you.
All right. No, you weren't.
Actually,
it was just my family.
He doesn't care if I'm with him. That's a nuance.
I see.
Once he gets going,
exactly.
Perpetual.
He never comes back. So we're up there, and we go to Glacier National Park, and we go to this evening campfire thing with one of the park ranger guys, and someone asks him, so where's the best place to go fishing? And the park ranger says, well, you go to a place called Arrow Lake, but you don't want to go up there because of the grizzly bears. And my dad heard the part about the fishing, but he ignored the part about the grizzly bears. So he says, all right, we're going to go fishing. And so he left my mom and my sister behind, and he and I headed off hiking up this to this cabin up in the middle of nowhere in Glacier Park. And you get a little ways up the trail, and there's this enormous red triangular sign that says, danger. Because of the bears, and we just trotted right past it, and there's all this bear poop on the trail, and off you go.
Wow.
And yes, and you get up and you hike all the way up there, and you get to this cabin, and the cabin has that's up there for hikers, and the cabin has iron bars on the windows. It has four enormous bolts holding the corners of the door closed, and all of these nail spikes driven through the door from the inside so Mr. Bear can't bang on the door because of all the spikes sticking through it.
Wow.
And that's where we went. And we spent the night, and we went fishing, and we saw bears, and we had a good time. Me and Dad. It was a real bonding experience.
Yeah, I guess. It was like the time I was in that spider hole in Nam.
That's the one.
Well,
yes.
I think you did an incredible job as a substitute host for Parviz for the first show. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
We'll be doing this on a weekly basis. And
Parviz, I'm expecting my check.
We'll be taking a break. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to the Parviz Fatale Show with the substitute guest host, Steve Golson.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, things could be worse. We could be talking about you right now.
This is Schnauzer Logic.
You talk about life and talk about death and everything in between like it's nothing. And the words are easy. You talk about me and talk about you and everything I do like it's something that needs repeating. I don't need an alibi or for you to realize the things we left unsaid are only taking space up in our heads. Making my fault, win the game, point the finger, place the blame and curse me up and down. It doesn't matter now, 'cause I don't care if I ever talk to pretend. I hold my breath and wonder when it'll happen. Does it really matter if half of what you said is true and half of what I didn't do could be different? Would it make it better if we forget the things we know?
Into this second hour of Schnauzer Logic. Robin Goldstein, host, buddy, and pal, www.schnauzerlogic.com. On the webpage at www.schnauzerlogic.com, at myspace.com/schnauzerlogic. The phone number if you want to leave us questions or comments for Ask Parviz, or this week if you want to provide us with questions we're going to ask next week to Mort Saul, is area code 206-666-6540. That should be a pretty good deal. I'm thinking that I don't know whether I want to see Robert Weedy's documentary before or after, because when you see a documentary filmmaker who does, you know, sort of a complete comprehensive look at a subject, then that's their take on it, right?
Right. That's the lens you tend to use for a long time.
Right. Right. I mean, I still look at. I still look at the news business because of what Ron Burgundy and, you know, the...
Donald Duck and Math Magic Land still pretty much...
Dude, you need to watch that again on 420, dude.
Oh,
420!
That's coming up.
Yes,
do
it is.
Do we do a show on 420?
Well, I do.
And everything's exposed.
Oh, that's what I need to get me through the night. Can I take a moment and tell you about my doctor thing?
Oh yeah,
please. Enlighten us.
All right. So I'm gonna steal. Well, actually, we'll put him on the line here. I'll let him get in on this. Son of Easter to Jason Nathanson.
Just snorting a line to my dad.
Thank you, Keith. Nice pop culture reference.
Thank
there.
You.
Very, very nice.
That's all I got. See you guys later.
Okay. Bye <Bye-bye>. Bye. So last, as folks know, that I'm been struggling to overcome the gamma knife surgery, which was supposed to have been a, you know, 3 day, 5 day, 1 week kind of thing, and there's still something that's not right with me. And as a matter of fact, I went to the opening day yesterday at Pac Bell, which is, then became SBC, which is now AT&T Park, and eventually we'll return to Pac Bell undoubtedly as the universe implodes upon itself.
But last night it was Loser Park.
Not well. I was gonna say not while I was there. Hey, I walked out. I walked out of Pac Bell with a Barry Bonds signature souvenir plastic cup. And
was it filled with urine?
diet urine, because I'm trying to watch my weight, and a calendar. So I got no complaints, and a part of the streamer that they shot out over the crowd that wound up blowing back.
It was just that kind of night.
It was all over that kind of night. But anyhow, but I obviously feel good enough to do the show, and that's terrific. But it was clear to me yesterday that there's things that are still not completely. Do you hear that hissing sound? Hold on, is that you? Hello.
Hello.
Hold on. I don't know. You guys talk for a second.
I'm holding a snake up to the phone.
2 seconds.
That might be it.
So it's your mic.
My mic? Okay.
That's better.
That is much better.
Is that
okay,
better?
Okay, good. Yeah.
Okay. It's Parviz's mic.
Okay.
Sean's mic.
Yeah. It won't be any funnier. that we may actually clean out of the show. Anyhow. Okay, now I hear birds.
You came out of the park.
Now I hear birds whistling. Do you hear that? Wait a second. Now I have that here.
Now that may be a result of the gamma knife surgery.
Are you stunting trees? What are you doing?
I am. I'm catching birds.
Okay. Are you biting the heads off of small animals?
Oh, no, I would never do that.
Poisoning pigeons in the park?
Isn't that what Karl Rove said when he was asked?
Is that just weird?
He bites the heads off of small animals. Well, that wasn't even a fucking pop culture reference. That was just sick and twisted.
That's the first thing that popped into his head.
Yes!
To say.
How fucked up is that?
Well, he works for a man who blows up frogs, or blew up frogs.
If he said, I like to bite the heads off of whippets, then at least he's Monty Python reference, right? Back to the Piranha Brothers.
Right.
Right? I mean, but biting the heads off of small animals, I thought, I don't... Could you tell those birds to keep it down?
Yeah. Hey guys. Thank you. All right.
No, wasn't he asked just before he made that remark, you know, that he was going to do an impression of Patrick Fitzgerald or something?
That I didn't see. Anyhow, I'm just going to blow through the medical shit because it bores the crap out of me. Last Friday, I went to see my doctor. Dr. Vinny Boombatz. No. Sorry, Rodney. I went to see my brain surgeon. This was after all of this falderol. And I go into his office, and he's very distracted, as he always is, but this time even more so. And I don't know if he's annoyed to see me. He may be a little bit annoyed to see me, like, you're here early. Like, you're not supposed to be here until August. What the fuck are you doing here in April or March? And it's like, something's wrong. I don't feel real. Well, I don't understand why you should be feeling sick. I go, right, that's why I showed up here. You know, it just kind of worked out that way.
That's his job to figure out.
But this is a surgeon. That's not their job. That's the thing. Surgeons are really, really different about this kind of shit. So,
fuck them.
Well, there you go. So, good healthy attitude. And do you want to be buried or cremated? So he opens the computer and he clicks on my file and he goes, oh, I can't open the images. I'm thinking, what, this fucking appointment came as a surprise to you? I mean, what do you mean you can't open the images? So he opens it, he goes through the paper, he finds some paper color Xerox copies, which are shit to look at anyhow, certainly not for medical imaging. He goes, well, I don't see anything. I'm thinking, well, neither do I. That doesn't prove anything. He goes, I don't think I don't understand why you'd have anything. And I go, I don't. He goes, well, you know, does it come and it go? Or I go, no, it showed up like almost immediately. It was really significant. And then over time, it seems to have gotten a little bit better. He goes, well, he said, you know, one possibility is that, you know, if it comes and it goes, you could be having seizures. But if it just like kind of came, he said, I suppose, maybe you had a stroke. But, you know, I was like, What? You know, and he goes, you could have had a stroke, you know. It wouldn't have been caused by this, though. There's no connection. I mean, it was completely unrelated. You know, you were dehydrated. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you didn't drink anything since midnight. And I said, I never drink anything after midnight. In fact, usually I don't drink anything until sort of 8 or 9 the next morning. You started an IV at 5:30. I was more hydrated than I am 90% of the time. And all I could think of is when you bring your car in for repairs and you drive out and about halfway down the block, something breaks and you drive right back in there and they go, we didn't touch that part. Just a coincidence, had nothing to do with us. Hey, you gotta
go to that Bones guy. He loves to figure this kind of shit out, and he usually does it in about an hour.
Bones or a house.
Yeah, but he brings you to the point of death before he figures it out, so I wouldn't go to him.
I'm okay with that.
You'd have to sell commercials first.
So he has some bad hat, Harry. So, well, not everybody stays till the end of the show, so what can I tell you? So his conclusion was... I'm either having seizures, or I had a stroke, and the stroke is unrelated to the surgery that they performed.
Naturally,
I was either because I was dehydrated, or I had a stroke because I take hormones. And I thought, oh, so that's what this comes back to. This comes back to the fact that something is wrong because I'm taking like the lowest possible dosage of estrogen.
Isn't that one of the things that's supposed to help you avoid strokes and sort of vascular conditions of all types? I mean, isn't that the understanding that
why women don't
spread?
Have heart
right.
attacks in the same way? Yes.
Right, vascular problems.
But apparently they can cause clots. So he's obviously pulling shit out of his ass now, and his bias is showing, and I'm a little frustrated because I've been his patient for over almost 3 years, and so I thought we were beyond the gender shit since this has nothing the fuck to do with him. I've never had to undress, so... He doesn't know what the hell's going on, so I'm a little bit angry at this point, and so his solution is, I say, well, are we going to do some more imaging studies? And he says, no, just take a baby aspirin 3 times a week. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's what I do, a baby aspirin, that should be fine, you know? And he goes, I'll see you in August. And that was it, he sent me on my way. He gave me a lollipop, patted me on the ass, and sent me on the way.
And you time warp back to the 50s, where they cure things with aspirin.
It was, well, so if you have blood clots, aspirin's supposed to help thin things. But I was so deeply disturbed by this whole experience because doing an imaging study is clearly the right fucking thing to do next to figure out what's going on. And the fact that but that's the thing. And you just said it. Surgeons surge. That's what they do. They cut.
They want to cut.
But they never cut and run.
Well,
because this guy does.
This guy cut and run. And so as a result, like, this is not a medical crisis. Now, if I came in there and I was, you know, I was bleeding from my ears, then that would be interesting to him. So I'm driving home and I'm very disturbed because he's sort of thrown out the possibility that I had a stroke in this very offhanded way. And I thought, that's a big fucking deal if I had a stroke, even if it was a little stroke.
Right. A little part of my brain just died.
Shouldn't he be trying to refer you to somebody who can figure out what's going on?
Wouldn't you think?
I mean, yeah.
At least he could refer me to Parvis, and he could refer me to somebody who
yeah.
knew what was going on. So I'm driving home. I'm weaving all over the road. No, I'm driving home, and it occurs to me, you know, something that he knows that a lot of other people may not is that over 20 years ago, I actually had a massive brain bleed from an AVM, the thing that got that senator that's still out of the Senate at this point. And that is a congenital bleed in your brain. And if you have that kind of congenital situation, what you don't want to do is introduce blood thinners because that could create more bleeding. So it occurred to me that perhaps what I did not have was a clot thrown off by the tiny, tiny amount of estrogen that I take. But maybe what I had was actually a bleed and that taking aspirin would cause me to die and therefore relieve him of the problem that I'm currently facing him. So the conclusion I've come to is he's trying to kill me.
He's trying to kill you.
So this
is going to write you a prescription for warfarin and I think we can just cancel the August appointment.
That's right. Exactly right.
Get a quick back nine in on that on that day.
Well, it doesn't get much more Jewish than that. I think the doctor's trying to kill me.
That's right.
So, and the doctor, here's the thing that's so disturbing about all of this, is that the doctor who I like so very much, he's Canadian.
I'm Brian Cox.
Exactly. So, So I cogitated on this. I perambulate. No, what's the word when you're kind of thinking about things? Cogitate and what's the other word?
Think.
Think. Thought about this. Thank you. And
what am I, a thesaurus? First I'm a map, now I'm a thesaurus?
You're an entire reference guide.
All right.
It's like a mini mall.
Mini-me.
And...
Well, hold on. Runway 2 is clear for takeoff.
It's the 6:15.
There we go.
That's a good long one.
Enjoy Hawaii.
Aloha, Hawaii. So I fixated on this, and I was completely stuck on this all weekend long, and I wrote him a 4-page letter on Monday. And basically, he said, this is not the precursor for a lawsuit for malpractice. And so here are the things I'm concerned about. Paragraph one, and you know, and use ruled paper, you know, legal size with the numbers and the lines and all thing. And I sent him a letter the other, you know, the other day, marked personal and confidential. And I'm still waiting to hear back from him because I didn't want to fax anything over. I figured that would cause embarrassment if lots of people read this thing. But, you know, it's like, well, what the fuck do you do about this? And where do you go? I mean, do you want to get you at this point in my career as a brain surgery patient? Do you want to get other doctors involved? You got to bring somebody up to speed. Could you guys go to medical school and help me, please?
Yeah, I got nothing else to do.
Exactly.
And he's got a head start because he watches Grey's Anatomy.
All right. Enough about me. Let's talk about you. So what did you think of Jan Karam's appearance?
It was great. One of the best.
He's
the best
right.
I've heard.
He's right. You know, using his extraordinary psychic and borderline abilities, he has actually deduced the truth.
The chicken bone joke was my favorite.
I love that one, too.
It will be inserted later. Mark here. Okay, what's going on in the world of television, my friend?
Well, there's so much going on in the world of television. First of all, on the Discovery Channel, they've got a couple good shows on right now, Planet Earth being one of them.
It's wonderful.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
On Sunday nights, and it's basically one of those nature documentary things, but they've taken all the highest tech cameras in slow motion and HD and all that stuff, and they've just created this beautiful, stunning landscape of the Earth, and it's this, I don't know, I think it's an 8 or 9 part series.
I hear they like zoom in on roaches from orbit and stuff like that.
Oh, they do everything.
It's like an 11 part series, but here's something that
two hours each.
But I heard somebody say that there's incredible animal on animal violence.
Oh, yes.
Not just violence.
Yes, absolutely.
Isn't that disturbing? I don't think I could watch that.
That's what a lot of people who watch these kind of things watch for, is to see, you know, the crocodile take the antelope out as he's crossing the stream.
Where is that happening?
You know, where
on Discovery every Sunday night.
Wait, where are crocodiles and antelopes living near each other?
The Serengeti.
On the yes. plane.
Okay.
On the plane,
all
where
right.
they all live.
Well, in their backyard. I heard the plane. Okay.
it's stunning to watch. And, you know, we've been watching a lot of these things for a long time that have been shot. A lot of them were shot 10, 20 years ago. And so the new footage that they have is just, it's really incredible.
Better animals, faster animals.
Faster animals, new species. They built them bigger and stronger.
Yeah. Robin, I'll tell you, the thing that was disturbing to me, it wasn't the animals chomping on the other animals, but in the first show, they were showing elephants migrating during the dry season toward where the water would be.
Okay.
And they showed from their helicopter shot, and they showed this one baby elephant who had gotten separated from its mother and was wandering off the wrong direction. Wow. And they just followed it and then zoomed back, and you see this one little elephant totally isolated in the vastness of Africa, and it's wandering off to die. Now that was moving.
But, you know, it may not be wandering
off. It might not,
die.
But that was it was like, this is nature, and things live and things die.
And things eat other things.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, nature also has elephants, they discover, communicate on extremely low sound frequencies with their feet.
And they're breathing as well.
And they can find each other over distances of tens of miles.
And they just started using text messaging, too, I heard.
As long as they're Verizon and all,
part
all
of the same
friends.
Network. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not accepting this elephant. Yeah.
Can you feel me now?
And so that show's also doing very well. It's a third in the cable TV shows, getting about 6 million viewers.
Now, do you have high def?
I don't, no.
So
this is the kind of thing that would make me want to have high def, because the sports I don't really care about, but for something like this, it seems like it would really be worth it.
All right.
Do you have high def?
I do.
And is it worth it?
It is.
What do you watch that's so much more amazing?
Sports.
Okay. Walked into that one. Also on the Discovery Channel, one of my favorite shows, I just watched a marathon of this.
You broke the knob on the TV, didn't you? Yeah. You got to come clean with us. You've lost remote, you've broken the knob. It was
okay,
stuck on.
That's actually not far from the truth. I was upstairs in my bedroom, and the remote doesn't work on the TV. So it's stuck on one channel, which happens to be the Discovery Channel. So I also watch a marathon of Deadliest Catch. which is about the crab fishermen in Alaska, and the new season just started yesterday. And that's also a really cool show because, I mean, I always saw those ads in the back of newspapers and online when I was in college.
About, there is, you know, the lonely Jew separated from the herd.
Going up to Alaska and working on a fishing boat for the summer.
Yeah.
And that always seemed to kind of intrigue me. It, you know, part of my Jew wanderlust. I don't know what exactly it was. But I never did it. And so you get to watch vicariously these people die on fishing boats. And that's pretty cool.
Have we become too callous as a people? If we, I don't know. That's a thought.
Would you watch more sports in high def if at the end of each sporting event somebody were killed?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, then try NASCAR.
Is that even a question?
Or WWF?
I would.
Their death is pretend on WWF.
Well, WWF was the second most watched thing right in front of planet Earth.
So what was number one?
Number one was the Nickelodeon's Kids' Choice Awards.
Now, I saw a headline for the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards that said afterwards, at the after party, there was a stabbing. Three people were stabbed. Is this...
Okay, this wasn't the official after party. This was some after party on some sketch block in South Central or something at a convenience store or a dry cleaning store or something. And I don't know what kind of after party. It was a party after the awards. So I guess they called it an after party, but I don't think it had any official connection to the awards themselves.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I know you were hoping for a correlation.
Okay, very exciting stuff. The Sopranos, it returns this weekend for the last 9 episodes.
Very excited about that. But I've had a problem with their, you know, taking so much time off between. I can't follow what's going on. I mean, I know the basic plot lines, but when it comes to the names of minor characters, which they like to throw out a lot, I have a big problem being able to follow the action.
You know, there are websites that actually have all this information charted out in genealogical form.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Like, sure. I have time.
Sopranos for Dummies book?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay.
I mean, I'm not that interested. I can get what's going on. But as far as, like, the deeper subtext of a lot of the stuff, I think it goes over my head.
So who dies?
Everybody.
Really?
I think all the kids first.
You think the kids die?
Yeah.
Well, that would be fucking brutal. Because they never kill kids off.
That's what I'm looking forward to. They're breaking ground. New ground this season.
And it's crossover because they're going to show it on planet Earth as well.
As they're stampeded by baby elephants.
Oh,
That's what I hope happens.
Sorry.
No, that's a good reference.
I'm a big fan of the show. And,
I got that one.
I'm happy that it's coming back, but I'm not terribly sad that it's going to end. I mean,
what, you know what else starts right after The Sopranos?
Entourage.
There you go,
the
baby.
The show I loved to hate in the beginning, and now it's definitely grown on me. I really didn't like it when it first came out.
You don't think it jumped the shark?
I think in the beginning it was very shallow and not funny, but they've developed the characters a little more. But I read an interview with the creator, Doug Ellen, and what he said was basically in the beginning he had no story arcs, and he didn't know where the characters were going, and they just wrote each episode basically one at a time. And you could tell, for me, in the beginning, you could definitely tell. And they've gotten more arcs as, you know, they're hitting, I think this is the 4th season. They're getting a lot better at that. So the show has gotten better. But as for jumping the shark, when? Last season with all the Aquaman stuff?
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, but that's what the show is about. I mean, the show is kind of about jumping the shark itself. I mean, it's this over-the-top look at, you know, these really rich kids in Hollywood and how they stick together. And, I mean, each episode you have to try and top yourself on how outrageous they can get. But and then also for a show that's supposed to be outrageous, it's not that outrageous. There's not a whole lot of sex. There's minor drug use. I mean, it really doesn't push the boundaries as much as it can for an HBO show. But I still like it and I still watch it.
It's not Requiem for a Dream, but...
No.
I don't know. I worry about shows that... shows where you can have a problem like jumping the shark, like something perhaps of diminishing quality, but you can actually say, well, we have assimilated diminishing quality into our very show concept. So actually, diminishing quality is part of the good show. That's how you know it's good, because it's getting worse, because that's what the show is here to portray.
Wow, I just got lost in the logic of
Well, Sean. We're portraying a crappy show
by producing a crappy show. And don't you think that that may be a little too self-referential, a little too postmodern? Well, of course it's a crappy show because it's about crappiness and crappy shows. So it's not a very good show, and that's what makes it so good.
You got a promotion this week.
I'm still trying to figure that out. Hold on.
You got him. You stumped the band.
Wow.
Next, I'll teach you Fizzbane for all you Star Trek fans.
Well, since we're on HBO and premium shows, also two shows that just came back, or one that is new and one that came back on Showtime, Bullshit, Penn and Teller's Bullshit,
yeah,
which is a very good show. I liked it a lot.
I've not enjoyed the season so far at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. I think
give me another read on that. Try that one more time.
I'm fascinated.
Take two.
Tell me more.
Well, you know,
I like it. I think it's still continuing very much in the same vein as it was before. I mean, I'm interested to see, because this season, so far, they've tackled the fact that obesity is not a problem and Walmart is not a problem.
Exactly my point. These are not things that people worry about. It is bullshit.
Maybe the Walmart thing, though, a little bit. I think that was a myth that needed a little debunking, but I think they also did it in a poor way. I don't think their conclusions came out to show that, you know, the Walmart problem is bullshit.
That show's jumped the shark. And here's why. And I'll tell you what's ruined the show for me. I don't like the new opening.
Interesting.
I don't like the new opening, and I can't get past that. It's like when Ed changed songs. It is. It's like when Ed changed songs from the Foo Fighters to
the whatever that other thing
the
was.
The other guy. Right?
Did you start a campaign online to get the other song back in
Ed?
No,
they figured it out themselves, and then it was canceled. But that's my point. I don't like the theme song. Listen, what do you remember of a meal? You remember how big the waitress's breasts are and dessert. Those are the two things that you remember when you go out to a restaurant. By the way, we're going out right after the show.
Excellent.
Okay?
To the big kid dessert plate?
Exactly.
Wherever Robin wants to
exactly.
go.
Hooters, basically.
Titty con carne. Titty con leche. Titty con... Well, that's redundant. I have no idea.
You're also, right. This American Life made its debut on Showtime, a show that's been a long time coming, and a lot of fans of the radio show on National Public Radio.
And they all hate the TV version of it.
I like the TV version of it, and I'm a huge fan of the radio show. It's one of my favorite shows for the past several years now.
Exactly.
And it's pretty much just the same as the radio show, but with pictures. And they do it in a very stylized...
You went to college, didn't you?
I did. I mean, because that's
the kind of critical analysis that really requires an advanced degree.
Well, it's exactly what I picture in my head as I listen
about
to
that
the
again.
Show.
It's just like the radio, but with pictures.
What? Do we have to break down that statement?
You're like fucking DeForest. You're like Logie, the Scottish guy that invented the 30 frames a second spinning wheel television system.
So I'm taking Parvise's place today?
That's my job.
We all
Jason.
We all
Why is this show different from all other shows?
That's your grandmother.
Yeah, how is your grandmother?
My grandmother's very good.
How is your grandmother's bat mitzvah? No, how was your grandmother's Seder?
Seder was nice. We had just the family here, just me, my parents, and my grandmother.
So you had to read the four questions?
No, we actually did a 2-minute Seder that my dad found off the internet.
Really?
And
I gotta find that one.
2 minutes.
Do you get credit for that?
It was awesome. It was perfect. Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
You went right through the wine.
Really,
okay.
God's heard this before. I mean, you know, blah, 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 chorosis, blah, blah, blah.
It was a race. It was a race between the Seder and the guy trying to build his abs.
So we did the real thing, though, last night, so I knew it would be okay.
You'd be saved.
Yes.
Okay.
When we tried to cross the sea last night, we were saved.
30 Rock, they're bringing back.
Yes, they are.
They've actually finished shooting an entire season of Studio 60.
Yes, they did.
But we have
no idea when that might air.
Yeah.
They also did the same thing with the Black Donnellys, which they've yanked off as well. So if you're
which
a fan.
I think is racist. But that's just I haven't seen the show yet.
The African American Donnellys.
I just think that that's racist.
And they're replacing it now. That 10 o'clock slot on NBC on Monday nights has not been doing well. So they're replacing the Black Donnellys, which replaced Studio 60.
Schnauzer Logic
with Schnauzer Logic, or with Wedding Crashers.
With pictures.
Wedding Crashers, the
Wedding
series?
Crashers, the reality TV version produced by Ashton Kutcher and his punked friend.
Don't you think they would get better ratings if they just showed the movie every week for 2 hours? I mean, literally the same movie every week for 2 hours.
that's what HBO does, pretty much. I mean, it's on all the time.
And
there.
Look how they do.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It could have some promise, maybe. I don't know.
Please, I've already seen the previews for it. It looks like shit. It looks like the kind of crap that would be on Fox for 2 weeks before they pulled it off and you never saw it again.
Right, or MTV. So, I mean, but we'll see how it does.
Hey, Surreal Life Fame Comp... what the hell's going on here?
A magic fairy just landed on my shoulder.
Is there any other kind?
I don't know. We'll go down to the Blue Lagoon sometime and check out the night action.
Hey, fairy.
The Blue Lagoon.
Are you magic?
There you go. Yeah.
Andy Barker, PI. You'd mentioned last week that you couldn't find it on your list of ratings.
No.
We figured out why.
Because it's not there?
It was the lowest rated show in prime time.
Really?
The lowest.
Wow. That's amazing. And it had a pretty good lead-in of, like, Office reruns and things like that.
And it's too bad because I've watched the ones that have been... I haven't watched it online, but I've watched the few that have been on, and they're funny. I mean, they're definitely worth... They're worth watching, so...
Well, it really is hard to believe that so many... With so many just obviously crappy shows... But there's no animal on animal eating action or sex action in Andy Barker PI. So
maybe they incorporated that.
Yeah, if you could zoom in from orbit and see Andy Richter walking off alone, sadly.
And speaking of animal on animal action, Seventh Heaven has been canceled.
And nobody cares.
Yeah.
Seventh Heaven was still on?
Yeah. That was a shocking note to me.
The fact that you would raise that is so girly gay.
Well, I just think it's fascinating that it was still on. There's a place where a show like that can be basically unwatched and unrecognized by humans and still be in production. I think that gives us all hope.
Wait a second. That's we rely on that to do this show every week.
I'm excited to hear that there was a place for Seventh Heaven for the last 5 years. Because when the hot chick left, there was kind of no reason to watch the show.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. You got a new job, or you got a promotion.
I got a promotion.
This is a big fucking deal, dude.
I am now head of promo production at KNX, where I work.
What does that mean?
All the really annoying promos that you hear for the station and for the shows. Yeah, that's me.
Imaging. When news breaks, we break it. So do you come up with the sounders and shit like that? Can I create sounds for you?
Sure, absolutely.
Really?
As long as you're license-free.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll give you needle drop. No problem.
Sure.
So like, what are you working on now? I mean, is there, like, a whole range of things you have to start working on? Or?
Yeah. Taking the department has been, a lot of different people have been doing it for the past couple of years.
So that's always a good sign.
One person. So I'm trying to get it all together right now and come up with some campaigns and stuff. And one of the things we don't have are promos for each individual show. Because we're a news station, and a lot of people don't think of us as having shows, but we do. We have the morning news, we have the afternoon news, and we have different news blocks and money shows and things like that throughout the
dusk
day.
Dusk news, dawn news, tea news.
And that's my promo right there. You're going to use that.
You got pine nuts, corn nuts. My mama used to say walnuts. That's a good one.
Pecan nut. I think that was my favorite nut. You got the pecan nut.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, cool.
You get
a bump and pay for this?
What?
You get a bump and pay for this?
I get more hours.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So this is exciting because this is a chance for you to actually be creative.
Yes, it is. I was very creative in my news writing. I just made shit up all the time.
Well, ixnay.
This is actually a chance to do it for real.
They're very lucky. I don't think they know how lucky they are to get you, man. I mean, you were like the fucking Swiss Army knife of radio.
Well, thank you.
Can't take him on a plane.
This sounds like some horrible... I mean, I just keep thinking about what you said about your...
about this new position and its pay. It sounds like some horrible Asian sweatshop.
Brazil.
Do I get bump in pay? No, you get to work more hours, though. Big promotion. No pay increase. More hours.
Cashew nut.
Well, there's a reason for it, and there's things I can't get into.
The top secret. The hush, hush, high government security?
Yes.
Parvis there with you?
Absolutely. What?
All right. All right, my friend. Listen, next week we're going to have Mort Saul on.
Woo!
That's a big deal.
Who?
Oh, that's not even funny. You know who Mort Saul is.
Comedian.
Well, but I mean, he's more than a comedian. I mean, everyone that you respect, from Lenny Bruce to
Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart and
how do you know I respect either one of those two people?
And Bill Hicks and George Carlin and all of those folks. I mean, those folks have basically made their name by speaking truth to power.
Larry the Cable Guy?
They all point to Mort Saul as being their inspiration.
And how did this happen?
How did what happen?
Getting him on the show.
I got connections, my friend.
Top government secret connections?
Exactly. I knows people who knows people. All right. Listen, thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Send our love to everyone down in Los Angeles, California.
Will do.
And we'll talk to you next week. And think of questions from Mort Saul and send them to us, okay?
Okay.
Robin at schnauzerlogic.com.
Who are you? That's my first question.
That's why I wanted to do it this week when Parvis was not here. You're only highlighting that potential pitfall.
Is he going to hang up on you?
I was worried that he would be number two. We have the old Irish guy and now the old Jewish guy.
Yeah.
All right, we got to go. Take care.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
Love you.
All right, back on the other side. Stick around.
Boy.
Schnauzer Logic.
The joy with which you smile. I care to see my reason. I care to put your life in mine. Looking at life from the perspective of a boy who's learned to love you, but has also learned to grow. Could we make it better? Stormy weather is so hard to know. Is there anybody home who will believe me? Won't deceive me? Won't try to change me? Is there anybody home who won't stop me? Just to love me? Stuck in the middle.
What you got?
I look at you, you look at me.
suspend your orientation. Is there anything you do not understand? Is there anything you understand only partially? If you have not been fully oriented, you must file a complaint with personnel. File a faulty complaint, and they dock you.
Welcome back. We're about 7 minutes into the second hour, pretty much at the end of our 50th anniversary show. Did I say something wrong?
Well, it's 7 minutes into the third hour.
It is 7 minutes into the third hour.
He went to MIT.
He went to MIT.
I know
smart.
How to count.
He's smart. He went to MIT and he studied engineering and got a degree in engineering.
Science. Earth science.
You got a degree in earth science?
Earth, atmospheric, and planetary sciences. Yes, sir.
Oh, so you're probably one of those global warming fibbers.
Did you watch him kill animals?
No, but we watched
I had no idea that you were an earth science major.
Oh,
What is earth science? I thought Al Gore invented earth science. I thought there was no earth science before the...
Before Al Gore. There were no rocks. Correct. That's right.
There was no Thanks global warming. There was no nothing.
That's right. No, my big thing was seismology, earthquakes, a little bit, but mostly what we call exploration geophysics, which is oil and gas exploration.
Wow.
Yeah, so I worked for Shell Oil and lots of other little
companies.
Did
you companies.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, down in Houston.
So absolutely. He would have gotten your cracking joke.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A little hexane humor.
Yeah. Oh, I know about cracking and catalysation and all that sort of stuff.
Can
yes,
you explain to us why the gas prices keep going up? No.
Supply and demand.
Wow, you drank the Kool-Aid, baby, didn't you?
I've been on the other end of the pipeline, so
the
I know how it works.
Greed.
I know how it works.
I had no idea. So how did you get involved in this whole synopsis engineering?
Well, that's part of the whole Ms. Pac-Man story.
That's mythology.
All of the oil exploration side of geophysics, it's all digital signal processing and computers and amazing stuff. And I said, oh, I need to know how computers work. And so I took digital electronics labs and DSP, and I took all the easy parts of EE. And then when we started up the general computer to do video game stuff, I said, I got enough to do the hardware.
To do chip design? Holy shit. Like, I can learn that in the weekend?
No, it took 4 weeks.
I know, but even so, holy crap.
Anybody can do it. So I used to do training classes, and my first question was, who can guess what my degree is in? And no one ever got it right. And I'd say, I'm a geologist.
German.
If I can do chip design, anybody can do it.
So
there you go.
You know, Ms. Pac, we've talked about this on the show before. You were one of the folks that designed Ms. Pac-Man.
Yes.
Back at General
25 years ago.
25, is that, yeah.
Yes, this year.
It was recently released for the iPod.
Yes.
So it's now an iPod color game.
Yes.
Do you have it downloaded?
No.
You get a free one?
I don't
one.
Have
you
a color iPod.
You should get a free one, by the way, I think.
We're in arbitration.
Are you?
Shh.
Wait a second. Is that true?
Yeah.
I was going to ask about that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those
Can't
are rights.
Anymore.
Those are rights that nobody would consider. Well, I'll just talk hypothetically here with Sean. So those are rights.
Let's
that,
talk about intellectual property
yeah,
rights on
we?
Early gaming technology.
Yeah, and sort of, how, you know.
Uh-oh,
whether,
time to go.
Whether,
we're out of time now.
Whether all those bundle of rights were properly captured and the licenses by the attorneys at the time. I'm guessing no.
I am almost certain no, because how could you even speculate on future use?
Absolutely. And so what would happen in that event? I'm guessing rights would revert back to the original author. Right, copyright lasts for the life and being plus 50 years and a box of Doritos.
Absolutely, I can't believe that Midway has the rights in perpetuity to you know,
or Namco,
or Namco, or yeah, whatever.
Exactly, exactly. So he's sweating.
It's not a question of rights. It's a question of contracts and dollar amounts.
I see. Just like the oil companies.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
You just told them they don't have the same answer for you that they do with the pump. Well, we wish
Indeed.
You luck in that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank
it's
you.
It's a nice implementation on the iPod.
Is it?
I
it looks it is, good.
I think it's a nice implementation, and it's got the music. And for me, that's what you know. That's what makes the whole thing.
The
it's the opening song. It just like the
Chris
Rode show. It's all about the opening.
Chris
song.
Rode wrote all the music for Ms. Pac-Man.
I know.
And if you look at the source code, the first line of the music part, it says "Sonata for Unaccompanied Video Game."
Right.
Gives all the music then.
And Chris Rode was a client of mine, and that's how we got to know each other. And I knew Steve when there was a Schnauzer. Steve
yes,
met
indeed.
The Schnauzer
I met the
Schnauzer,
Schnauzer
Logic.
Yes, I did.
There you go.
I saw the Schnauzer.
Oh, yeah, on the old home movies.
I did. Good-looking animal.
Did you grow up with home movies?
No, I grew up with slides.
Is that right?
I got
right?
lots of slides from my dad, yes.
We
Schnauzer phone.
Well, marketing?
Well, should we?
Oh, it's networking. That's right.
It's risky. Schnauzer Logic.
Hello.
Schnauzer Logic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have the wrong number.
Can we help you?
Oh, too bad.
You ruined our bit. You ruined our bit.
Could you please say networkity?
Anyhow, yeah, we have these. I found a whole, all the old 8mm films that had been transferred to video like years ago, VHS, and I now converted them over back to other video, and they're all flickery and stuff, but Sean was watching a few of them, and there's something very, it's bittersweet to watch those old images. I mean, I'm there when I'm 1 year old, 2 years old, so my mom is, you know, in her 30s. My grandmother is, I think, almost my age, you know, maybe a couple years older.
When you see things like that, it's even bittersweet for someone who has no connection to these people, because it's a past America that doesn't, it, that no longer exists.
And I don't think we'll have the same impact in looking at videotapes 20 years hence. I mean, I showed you some tapes that I did that I did 10 years ago. I have some videotapes that I took of Carol at the Old Church Cultural Center, and I ran them to Final Cut Pro, and I edited them down to a movie. You know, it's like, it's video. It's, you know.
Well, these have, the film gives an artifact quality. Yeah. Its signature, you know, artifacting is so unique, and it is so so archaic now, where I think video for a long time will look pretty much the same. It's just, if you don't have something in HD, or so, it'll look like you just didn't have a camera that could accomplish that.
Yeah. It'll look like an iPod.
Right.
Yeah, you know, you took some video with your phone. No, this was the best camera you could have in 1981.
Right.
You know, but it essentially looks the same.
It all has that kind of hyper-real quality to it. And I'm a little sad by that, because I looked at video of my wedding, which was now, it was 88, 98, so almost 20 years ago.
Looked
when I was
good.
Married. Mm. And I was really heavy. But that video, I mean, it didn't cause the same kind of emotional connection that old film did. So maybe we're missing something. I mean, there are people that use old still cameras, right? And kind of crappy cameras to try to... I mean, one of the things we didn't have a chance to talk about today is you are a super fine photographer.
Thank you.
I know you do lots of astrophotography. I look forward to your solstice cards every year.
Oh, thank you.
I told you this before. You put me back on the list. I think I fell off. You put me back on the list again. But I mean, do you find that's sort of an art that's missing? Do you wind up doing more in film because you can capture more of the media quality?
No, I've given up on the film.
Really?
Really. I mean, the astrophotography is one of the last holdouts, because you can do these extraordinarily long exposures and you can do all kinds of special soupy stuff to your film. But now you can do it with the digital imagers as well, and it's just, film's going away. So even for those applications, so it's going to be really specialized. It's like, oh, where can I go buy my daguerreotype glass? It's gone.
Yeah.
You know, another 50 years, it's going to be gone.
I think we're missing something. I think we're missing something. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was just going to say, in another 50 years, though, I'll be gone. So, you know,
I'll still be here.
Let my epitaph be that of film.
I'm not sure I'll be gone. I'll be very old and cranky.
What will your surgeon say?
Well, it's either a stroke or it may be a tumor. It could be a tuber. It's not a tuba. Did you have something? We've got about 30 seconds.
All I was going to say is, as I was driving over here, I saw sign after sign as I was going past some automotive places, certified pre-owned cars. And that's, of course, a euphemism here in America for used cars. But the way it's always written, it appears that the certification modifies the pre-owned. So, like, someone has gone to a great deal of trouble to actually verify that this is not a new car. And I thought it was just butt stupid. They should put it some other way. That's all.
Well, I got nothing to add to that. You?
Not a word.
All right. Well, listen, let me say, first of all, great thanks to Steve Golson, who sat in today and filled in for Parviz.
Yes,
when
anytime.
Was not available.
Anytime.
John Meehan, of course, thank you so very much, my friend. We want to thank Jan Karam for being a great guest today, and thank her for getting us Mort Saul for next week's program.
Thanks, Jan.
And to Jason Anderson, every one of you out there in the audience, thanks very much. I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I miss you both. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and don't be attached to the outcome. Send your questions to robin@schnauzerlogic.com. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
This is over now, and you just got to deal with it.
I want you to know it's over.
It's over, Jenny. It's over.
It's over, Harvey. I'm sorry. I need to get on with my life.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Elvis has left the building.
Vagina.